Podcasts are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
Sorry, I have to talk about this. Otherwise, I'll just die. I need a Xanax. That show, Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, or whatever the hell it's called.
We were
in episode 7.
Wow.
Jason is like, you can't watch. Like, we've just watched it when we got home, and we watched it this morning. Okay. It's such a good show.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like it because I was like, you know how I feel. You know how I feel when it's like an off-brand housewife knockoff.
Mm-hmm.
But these gals, this Taylor Frankie Paul, three first names. She has
bad sign. Yeah.
Three first names. And they're all like, you know, kind of like male names too. I like that too. She is a gift to this world. Her and Dakota are like, she's like hours away from giving birth and she's like, I'm just not going to talk to him. And they're like in a big fight right now. She decided to like leave town and go on a girls trip to Vegas or at Chippendales. All of the girls are getting yelled at by their husbands. Yeah. And she's like literally can give birth in like the next minute.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And she's like, and everyone's like, your relationship is so toxic. And she's like, yeah.
I know.
Yeah. She's like, I mean, he's mad at me because like I don't want to marry him. Plus, I'm hanging out with strippers and about to give birth to his child. And it's like, he needs to cool his jets. And the Mormon accent? No. Is it a Mormon accent?
I think it's like maybe Salt
Utah, Lake accent.
Salt Lake.
Is,
it's Pharrell. Crazy.
It's really amok on this show.
Yeah, it's like,
for real.
I'm feeling wild.
This is me wanting to give a public apology right now to Whitney Rose because I always thought that she had a speech impediment because
Same.
The other girls on Salt Lake City, they don't sound like her. But now this Hulu show, they all sound like Whitney Rose.
It's crazy.
They say like chills. I have the chills.
Yeah.
I have the chills. I'm in my fillings.
It's the real deal.
It's a real deal. I'm wearing my garments. They talk about that on
the
show too. The garments.
Wait, did they wear the garments? They all are that
Jen morning. Affleck. That's the other part of this show. There is another Jen Affleck, and she is in Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And she is on a girls' trip, and she forgot her garments. And the other girls are like,
they are all in their garments?
No, they're just like, you forgot your garments. Because she is the one who's like, I'm the most Mormon. Like, it's important to be. Well, she always wears her garments. She forgot underwear. She forgot her garments. Now I sound like Whitney Rose. It's a great show.
Yeah.
It's also just so fun to watch them drink like soda and then being like, oh.
Ooh, we're getting nutty.
Drinking soda. Yeah. I think she could just graduate from this show. I think she could be on Housewives.
Wow.
She has a big career ahead of her.
We'll see.
She has
what's ahead.
Spin-off potential. Like, this girl is so down bad, emotionally broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because her guy, her baby daddy he's in recovery for fentanyl addiction. I don't know if he has a job, but he has a lot of opinions about Taylor, which are shit. I don't enjoy Dakota, and I'm going to say that on the record. I don't like him.
He gives me
She's so hot and so cool. Mm-hmm. Like, she will fuck another girl and another guy.
Yeah, he scored big time. He gives me, like, actor, like, wannabe actor model vibes.
He kind of reminds me of her dad, though, on the show. Like, they both wear baseball caps backwards. So he's giving me big silent daddy vibes, although he's not really a dad.
He's loud.
He's loud. Mouthy. Okay, so maybe it was just the baseball caps. I'm like, I see.
The Freudian.
Yeah, I see what she's doing, and she's going for daddy.
Honestly, you're probably right. Don't doubt your instincts there.
Don't doubt my daddy instincts.
Yeah, you're making connections.
Big daddy.
You know, you've seen this before.
Yeah, he reminds me of Adam Sandler from Big Daddy. No.
He does wear backwards baseball caps.
And he doesn't, you know, I don't know. I'm very into it. And I sent you that TikTok of Whitney.
That was wild. That was
they
the wildest
thing. They talk about it on the show.
They do.
She's like, no one would suck up for me. Like, during the whole RSC TikTok thing, and they were all like, it was insane. Like,
she shows
that
her baby, like, with an oxygen tube.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's, I want to say, like, if you don't know what RSV is, it's a pretty serious respiratory infection that happens to children who are really young. Like, it can happen to infants a lot. I think under the age of two, it's pretty common, but it's pretty serious. And her son had to go to the, you know, he was hospitalized with RSV and his oxygen levels got really low. So he was on needing oxygen and stuff. But she's doing a TikTok dance explaining all of that. And not like after the fact, and she's not doing it at home. Like, her
baby's in frame.
Yeah, he's laying there because with oxygen while she's like, you know, doing like TikTok dances. And then like she has like a little like speech bubble or whatever thing on TikTok saying like, his oxygen levels dropped. Now we're at the hospital. Then they put him on this much oxygen and like just like dancing the whole time. I mean, it's the most insane thing I've seen in a long time. But she does talk about it on the show where she's like, no one stuck up for me. And they were like, we didn't understand it. She's like, well, he was getting better. And so I just wanted to do something positive, which is like her reasoning for the RSV TikTok, which are like,
I mean, I see what her thought process was, but anytime you're doing what?
Now she's trying to become a homesteader on the show. So you need to be watching.
Finally.
Yes. Yeah.
A trad wife show. If Bravo isn't making one, you know, Hulu's going to beat them to it. Like, and already we're seeing it in the Whitney plotline. She gets it. She's on the cusp. We need to see our sad raw milk mommies.
We
like
need the raw milk
7.
Mommies. Yes.
We need to see their kids playing with hammers and glass.
Sourdough starters bubbling over like a volcano erupting. Like, we need to see all of this.
Yes. It's like they're making so much money only showing us the polished picture. And everyone's dying to see what's behind the scenes.
We
all
need
of
to
the
see
misery.
It.
We need it.
The misery, the business, the misery business.
The beige.
The beige of it all. Like the goats that you're like, oh my God, I still have to milk and feed these.
Yes. The animal husbandry that's like horribly not up to standards and considered animal abuse. We need all of this on camera.
We need this on camera. I had to stop the show because we're doing the podcast right now, but like Jason's like, we got to finish this up. We're going to finish the season.
Wow.
Like today. That's like our big plans. And it's like football season and Jason's like hasn't watched any football today.
And I'll let us know if you want us to cover it and just tell you everything that happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. Good morning, students. I'm Lauren Davis.
And I'm Michelle.
This is Bravo Breakdowns, your podcast study guide for reality TV. We have a special guest today, Josh the Roni Stan at Josh in the Oval on TikTok. We found him on TikTok and we were like blown away because he's so young and yet he knows so much Housewives. He's like,
he gets
you know,
it.
Our millennials remember Doogie Howser. He's like the Doogie Howser of Bravo history.
Or like he's like a savant. Like he's a prodigy. He's like,
he's a
you
prodigy.
Know, when like Mozart made his first concerto
Mozart.
At like two.
Yes.
This is what Josh is bringing to the table, but like with like Bethany.
Mozart, Beethoven.
Beethoven,
all of the famous,
the Chopins of the world.
Chopins. Yeah, he is just so insightful and he's got such great opinions and his voice is like Bravo ASMR. Mm. So stay tuned to hear him. So first, let's get into this week's episode of Orange County.
Mm.
So we start with Heather Dubrow in her natural habitat of Beverly Hills with her kids. Me and Michelle texted in depth about how we just love watching Heather, even though she gives us no drama in her personal storylines.
Yeah.
We're just like, huh.
She just understands the assignment and she always has. She knows exactly
delivers.
When to insert herself, exactly what to do, but she still like stays above it all. But she's, you know, the closest to Mother Teresa I've found on reality TV.
I agree. Like she actually is the first person who does the good mom storyline. And I'm like, I think maybe she is a good mom. And that's impressive.
I think she's actually like a good mom.
Yeah, I think so
that's
too.
Good.
That's good.
Yeah.
So it's a big trip for the ladies. They take the Dubrow PJ to Florida. PJ's private jet, of course.
The PJ. Okay. Do they have a private jet now, the Dubrows, or is this just like one that she chartered?
I think she
because they called
chartered.
It Heather's private jet. I was like, do they have a jet now? Do they have Kylie Jenner money? I don't know.
Do you think that they take the plane from Beverly Hills to Orange County? They land at
Bob Hope. They take a chopper.
The chopper. Yeah.
The chopper.
Chopping.
The chopping. So
all the housewives are in tow, including Alexis and Shannon. What could go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Well, things go wrong immediately.
On a tiny plane
when
together.
They're in a tiny plane. Very dangerous place. And Alexis and John have made their red carpet debut on all of the gossip sites.
So funny that they had a red carpet debut. Like they're like Brad Pitt and Angelina from a million years ago when they
made their
red carpet debut.
It's so funny that their publicist is like plugging like them like this. It's like there's, you know.
Yeah.
Their publicist would be like, maybe we don't like make you seem this deluded on the gossip sites, but they're like, nope, let's say a carpet debut, first of many to come. It's crazy. And Shannon says under her breath before they board the flight, oh, I see he's wearing the Ferragamo shoes I got him. The shoes that Johnny J is wearing are bought by Shannon in the first half of their relationship.
Bought by Shannon. That's and a new segment that we're going to have.
Bought by Shannon.
Bought by Shannon.
Yep. And so it's like Emily and Gina kind of instigate it. And they're like, what about those Ferragamos?
Finally, they're doing something right.
Yes. They're definitely stirring the pot quite a bit this episode. Yes. Alexis and Shannon kind of snipe at each other a little bit. And then, you know.
Yeah.
We land safely. Because we can't go like, you know, in an all out bitch fight war. Because we're saving that for the finale. And we don't want the plane to crash like Big Bopper style. Okay. So they land and they go to a ranch. They have daytime cocktails in the backyard. Shannon orders one. All the women judge
she
her.
She says, I'm on a vacation. I'm going to have a vodka with a little bit of cranberry. And Gina, in her confessional, is like, I don't know if this is great optics.
Well, I think Gina was like, it's easier to not drink when someone else is drinking or is not drinking, you know? Like, it's like, oh, we're both sober together, you know? But I don't think it's easier for Shannon because Alexis is there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We also find out something.
Yes. So everyone talks shit about Shannon because she was posted on Instagram with a short cocktail glass at a mall bar and she
took an Uber there.
She claims it's a cranberry Pellegrino, which I would buy, but the Uber is kind of the smoking gun in this, I would say.
And that it's like, you know, in a small glass. I don't know. It seems like also a mall at the
mall bar.
Like, it's like you don't really want to be seen because nobody goes to the mall.
Yeah.
But it is weird that
I do feel bad for her that, like, anywhere she goes to drink, people are like, she's doing it. She's doing
it. Yeah. Is that a Pellegrino?
Yeah.
Is that a Danny Pellegrino?
Oh, my God. We love him. Yeah. It's rough for Shannon.
Rough stuff.
But good that she's Ubering. Very good that she's Ubering.
Very good that she's Ubering.
Sparkling water. So Heather and Alexis support their trans children by going to a group in Florida called Family Equality. The people they meet with on screen, the reps, are queer women of color. Tamara is also there. Heather does a champagne collaboration called Equality Vines. Like, honestly, this is the kind of plot I would think would be boring on other shows, but it's like, this is two housewives with trans children on such a conservative like franchise. This was like, I thought this was really great, and they still managed to make it dumb in Housewives by having like a champagne tasting for trans children. You know, I just I'm proud,
you know,
proud of my
goals. They need some those kids need that.
And
I was reading about I didn't realize Alexis had a trans son, and I was reading about it. She actually talked about her trans son a few years ago before she was back on the show or anything. Yeah, and she said that initially it was really hard and she didn't accept it initially, but then she realized how happy her son was, that they were being authentic, and it, you know, really opened her eyes to a lot of different things. You know, because of the season that we're going to go back and cover, you know, we're still really in the thick of her being very conservative, very religious. So it is nice to see the arc of Alexis, we do give her a lot of shit, but it is nice to see, like, as a mother, her embracing in a very public way her trans son. Yes. Give her all of the flowers for that.
Definitely. And in fact, like, on the season we're covering, there is a, like, lesbian friend of Fernanda, yeah. And she, and Alexis says, like, behind her back in her talking head, she disproves of the fact that she got married.
Yeah.
She says it's not in the Bible.
Right.
Like, she says it to her face at the reunion, and Fernanda's like, this is deeply hurting me. And Alexis is like, well, okay.
Well, yeah, that's a God thing.
And now Alexis officiates gay and lesbian marriages. So we love, you know, that even though
growth in
she
some
hasn't
ways.
Grown in terms of her vocabulary or like, you
the
know.
The way she treats people.
Yes. Or like, yeah, self-awareness she has in terms of like opening her heart. And that's beautiful.
Yeah. She's a good mom, I would say. She's a good mom.
Yeah. So, Jen gets back from divorce court. She's getting $6,000 a month.
Which doesn't seem like a lot of money. And then
for five kids.
For five kids and like, in the, there, she's in the OC and you know, she used to be rich, bitch. Like, give her more money. She's, have you not seen her hair? Like, these roots won't cover themselves.
Exactly. These extensions won't sew themselves in.
Yeah. Ugh.
So, yeah, Tamara, in typical Tamara fashion, says she's probably just going to mooch off Ryan and not get a job. Housewives is a job, whatever. So then Gina and Shannon and Emily, they do a scent meditation in robes. Oh, yeah, Katie's also there, but whatever. Shannon reveals that on was suing her for $75,000, and then Shannon made an offer with her lawyer to pay him off, to pay off the lawsuit. Johnny J rejected
she wanted to settle.
Offer. Yep.
She wanted to settle. I think it was about half. She was going to just pay up. But, you know, it's a lot. It makes a lot more sense to settle and not have it drag out and pay these attorneys.
Yeah.
And no, Johnny J says, no.
Excuse me.
Or he doesn't. He whispers it to Alexis. And then Alexis dramatically tells everybody.
Yes. She's like, hey, I said settle, but he doesn't want to because
he
of
said,
something he knows.
He said,
his
fuck
truth.
No.
Yeah.
I said, Johnny J, settle. And he said, fuck no. After what she's put me through, people in my community don't like me anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they don't now. This whole thing is so befuddling.
It's so dumb because it's like the money seems like it was a gift from her boyfriend, honestly, to pay for the surgery. It's like he wore those shoes to that premiere or whatever it was with Alexis. He didn't have to give those back. You know, the shoes that Shannon bought him. It's like I get that it was a significant sum of money. It was $75,000, but if there was an expectation that that money was going to be need to be reimbursed at some point, then before he gave her the money, then there should have been some sort of an agreement. So this is just like, this is really, it just feels like I'm just trying to make Shannon look like shit to save face. But he's the one that's looking.
Who looks like shit.
He looks awful. Like, just I think never even, it should have never been a suit, you know?
Yeah. I think it's becoming clear to me that, like, Jimmy B, Jim Bellino, who, you know,
according to Jim,
has sued a lot of housewives, and Tamara, who knows how to cook up storylines, they are kind of the architects of this, and Johnny J and Alexis are along for the ride and also, like, suffering the consequences, which is not to say they are not completely responsible.
Suffering greatly.
Yeah. But I do
listen.
I think he's
equally as shit to Alexis, but in a very different way. Where I think he's maybe love bombing her, but she is becoming his, like, obviously his mouthpiece, and he's not speaking for himself, and everything's being funneled through Alexis, and she's coming off like an asshole because I think because of him. I think also a little bit her. She likes being back on the show and everything like that. But I'd much rather see Alexis back on the show in a very different light, like the stuff that she's doing with her trans son, and that's really interesting. And
it's getting sad to see her once again being controlled by a guy. Yeah,
A really big asshole who really, the man says he doesn't want the fame. You would never date Alexis Bellino if you did it. You wouldn't be at the Quiet Woman.
No.
Why would 100%. You be at the Quiet Woman when your ex-girlfriend is like the most famous, like has like the most famous scene from that restaurant ever, you know? Yeah. You wouldn't be there.
You wouldn't be. It's much more likely, I think, that he's not trying to. It's never been about clearing his reputation. Yeah. It's been about he doesn't want to get a job. He wants to be a celebrity.
And he wants those Ferragamo shoes.
Yeah, exactly. He wants a.
He's going to wear those to court when he's suing her. He's going to walk in with his Ferragamo shoes.
So Emily and Gina are on to Johnny J, and they can't hold back this plot any longer. The storyline has to explode. This ticking time bomb. They tell Shannon, you should not countersue. You should not go to court because guess what? He has this video of you backing over his daughter with the car or almost doing it.
Shannon is broken. Okay. This woman is so not okay. And she's like, what video?
Emily explained, John is, it sounds like he's basically extorting you so that he doesn't reveal this life-ruining Ring camera footage. Shannon is shaking and breaking down, and Emily gives her legal advice, like, you can't put a price on your mental health. Just give him whatever he wants.
Yeah, and then that's when Shannon's like, I tried.
Yeah.
She's like, I tried settling.
Yeah.
And he declined it, which is so stupid. And then I've gone back and watched interviews that Shannon said. So at the time, she offered him half, right? So like around 30 grand. And then she said in a interview like a month or so ago, then she went back and offered everything. She offered $75,000, pay everything. And he declined it again. And it was adding to the suit for like pain and suffering or whatever bullshit. Like he's like wants more in damages from her, this woman.
Wow,
it's
I wonder.
So nasty. In the words of NeNe, like so nasty. So rude.
So it sounds like with the timeline, this episode, she comes back and says, give him everything. And then he's about to, like, say no second time.
Yeah. And Alexis is defending this behavior from him, where she's like, he deserves it. And it's like, you just told him, Alexis, you just said that he should just settle and take the money. Like, why make it a thing?
So end of the episode, Shannon finally tells her side. She says, I told the truth. I did pay for stuff. He wants everyone to think he's a good guy. I know the truth.
You will all see the truth.
Yes, you will all see the truth. That night, I lost control of the car and I hit the corner, a planter. And I went unconscious and I woke up in the hospital. My good friend called me about 10 days after and said, seconds did the accident happen after you backed out of the driveway? I said 3 to 5 seconds max. He said, well, I find it very strange that John didn't come running after you. And then Heather's like, well, do you think that John didn't hear the crash? And then Shannon says, I don't know. And then she sent a bloody bruised photo directly after the crash to John around 12 a.m. He didn't respond till like 1:40. Yeah. And he said, I'm going to bed.
He said, like, yeah, he responded about something else. Yeah. But didn't say anything about, like, are you okay after seeing the picture? And we do see the picture. Shannon, she shows Heather, because Heather is kind of like, you know, how much does, you know, Shannon really remember because she was so intoxicated and, you know, but Shannon's really hurting here. Like, she's been going through a lot. I mean, just to publicly go through getting like a DUI and all of this stuff that's happening. That's hard enough, you know, to start filming the show right after. But she shows this very graphic picture of her, or like her whole face is bloody.
Bleeding.
Mm-hmm. And Shannon, while telling this to Heather and showing Heather, you know, Heather actually becomes she's very motherly to Shannon in this moment. I feel like she's trying to comfort her. She's also just horrified that, you know, by the extent of Shannon's injury, but also the fact that John never acknowledged it.
Yeah. Like this. Okay. So
it's
this
pretty horrific.
I don't know. Okay. So the first thing is, it's crazy that John like let her drive, I think. Like, you know, I recently had a situation like this with actually my fiance's mom, who is a widow who's dating in her silver years. And she's very beautiful. And the men go crazy for her. And she's had like an ex-boyfriend show up drunk and at her house. And she like did not let him drive. Like Cam almost drove over to like stop him. You know, it's like when someone shows up drunk at your house, like that's the last thing you want to do is let them drive.
Yeah.
Like it's not your responsibility to stop them, but like kind of,
especially
bit.
If it's like your partner at the time. Right.
But then my other thing is, so she says she hit the corner and blacked out. So she was in a fugue state when she was walking Archie.
I don't know. She was clearly very intoxicated. I mean, I don't even know what her blood alcohol level was at this point. I don't even think it really matters. She wasn't well. Like, she is also probably just emotionally completely wrecked, which is why she was so intoxicated. Who knows what happened? I mean, I don't know what the fight was that she got in with John. The point is, it doesn't excuse the fact that she drove, but it also doesn't excuse the fact that he didn't stop her.
He's like absolving himself of
all. He hasn't said, and he has not publicly said, and neither has Alexis. That means that he didn't do it. That, like, I tried stopping her. I tried calling her an Uber. Like, do those things. And that's real shit. Like, that's really shit. I would be horrified. It doesn't even matter how I feel about a person. I would never be like, I'm going to let you drive in this state. Also, not just like how it could affect you. You could hit another person.
Yeah. And it's like, so like, it's scary. Almost like he's partially responsible.
Like, what if something really bad happened?
His daughter, I mean, I guess
he's
apparently
responsible.
Almost hit her, his daughter. So he let, first of all, he let Shannon drive, and then he let his daughter leave the, maybe she was trying to stop her. Maybe that's what, I don't know. Release the footage.
Then why didn't somebody say that?
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to see that footage. I don't know if I don't know. I think it would make me feel good to see it.
Yeah. I do want to see her walking Archie.
Yeah. At one in the morning with a bloody nose. You're sick.
I know.
Dark fantasy.
Yeah. I'm twisted, y'all. I'm basically Harley Quinn. Okay. So that's the end of this episode.
It ended on a high note. No, it ended on to be continued. Dot, dot, dot.
Yes. It's very much a cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's like, what happened next? Oh, you got arrested. The girls who get it.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into our lesson for today. We are recapping season 6 of Orange County.
This
is part 2 of the recap, episodes 9 through 16. So, full disclosure, we have to tell you the truth about the last episode. So, I let Michelle write the outline because I was quite busy. And honestly, as the episode was going and the lesson was going, full disclosure, I did not know what she was talking about some of the time. I was like, huh. If you notice, I'm pretty quiet a lot of the episode. I was like, I'm like, man, I guess I watched the season like a week ago. I'm like, I guess I don't remember it as well as I thought. Because, like, we're talking about this
that's
party.
That's what happened anyway.
And it is because Michelle finished season 6 and we pretty much recap the whole season. Which actually, it worked out for the best that we recapped most of the season, unbeknownst to me. And I'm just sitting there nodding like a moron because we don't have a lot of time left. We've got this long interview later, and we really need to focus on the journey of our stars, Tamara and Vicky, in the back half of the season, these last 3 episodes, to really get a feel for what's great about season 6. We also really need to track Vicky's divorce so we can really get into the timeline of the Vicky and Brooks
screenshots.
Drama. Yeah, timeline, screenshots,
receipts, everything.
So, because all of this is setting up, you know, like
the great romance,
our journey into the golden years, the great romance, the star-crossed lovers, Vicky and Brooks.
Ugh.
Okay.
Oh, I have chills just thinking. Ugh,
I know.
Brooks.
I'm so excited.
The Brooks.
Okay.
The Brooks years.
Of it all.
Brooks and Dunn.
So Vicky and Dawn are divorcing for realsies now. Vicky talks about her cursed vow renewal. She asked God to let them start anew, and God abandoned them, she
says. Vicky's just trying to get her smile back.
Yep, and plus they didn't put the work in. They is Vicky, and she keeps... Clearly, she has been talking to Brooks over email and falling in love with him.
Yeah.
But she's trying to convince herself that this is the right thing. She's like, it's not like I woke up one day on impulse and decided I'm not going to be married anymore.
She's very...
Exactly what happened.
Losing her mind.
Yes. And she's losing her bodily function. Vicky skips another cast function, the Alexis Couture fashion show. She says it's because her ass is bleeding.
Oh my God. Yeah. She has to go into surgery.
Yeah.
And then it's so funny. Oh God, this is okay. Not funny. Like emergency surgery is like, okay, that sucks. But like the fact that it did happen during Alexis's like fashion show, which is in the back room of a French restaurant, is also very funny. They tried it's getting classy. Like meals that match her dresses. But it is funny though, because Gretchen during this scene when Tamara's like, I'm shaking, like, oh my God, she has her phone out. She's like, oh my God, Vicky's gonna have surgery because her asshole is bleeding. Gretchen's like, Alexis, don't you think this is like so convenient that Vicky's asshole is bleeding right now during your show?
And Tamara's
like, a little too convenient.
And Tamara's like, her asshole is bleeding, you insensitive fucking bitch.
I'm crying, Alexis, because my best friend's asshole is bleeding.
I kind of see both sides. But then, of course, because it's Vicky, mm-hmm. it is an actual medical crisis. She has 8 bleeding ulcers in her colon.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
It's
all of her health stuff, it's like, she gives us so many gifts, like, on the 3rd day of the cast trip, mm-hmm. my Vicky gave to me 8 bleeding ulcers, 1,000 tumors.
That's so painful.
It's so much.
I mean, I've had an ulcer. Just having one ulcer is like, it's awful. Sorry. It was a motorcycle or something. He's gone.
It's Brooks.
It's like
they're talking about me.
He's driving Vicky's car past my house.
Lord knows he doesn't have a Zoom.
Mm.
Yeah, poor Vicky.
Poor unfortunate soul.
How dare I doubt her that it's a superficial tear and not like colitis?
Yeah, no, it's a real problem that she was waiting to get treated until the Alexis Couture fashion show.
It's really a combo deal.
She's like, I don't need to go there and watch her shitty dresses go up and down the aisle while eating frog legs. Okay, yes. I need to get an emergency surgery.
She's got to take care of herself right now.
And that's why she's top tier. That's why she'll always be famous.
Yes. Speaking of messy divorces, Tamara and Simon are also having one. Tamara called the cops on Simon when he brought over the dog because of shrink custody of the dog. He was outside. There was yelling. The kids were there and he threw a leash.
Mm.
So she called the cops for assault. And Gina Keo busts into the press and busts into the season of Housewives to defend Simon's honor and say he's not abusive. Gina.
Yeah, Gina, this is not the way. And as the kids say, NGL. It's not a good look.
Not a good look for you, Gina. Mm-hmm. Tamara has the extremely valid point that Gina is still married to and living with her abusive ex-husband who's on his second DUI. Even though she has a boyfriend, she's still enabling him and taking care of him. And like, you know, whether it's true or not, buzz off, Gina.
You're not on the show anymore. Like,
she doesn't even go here.
Yeah, she's like, you know, and she's trying to defend herself. She doesn't even go here. Yeah, Gina's trying to defend her actions. And it's just like, sweetie, this isn't the way. This isn't the way back.
If you're going to torture her for hurting her ex-husband's reputation, you have to be dating him first, like Alexis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, fuck Simon and then we'll talk.
And he needs to be wearing shoes that Tamara bought him. Like,
yes.
That's the only way you can get wet.
Otherwise, don't come on and try to sow seeds of doubt in, you know, an abuse storyline. It's not good for anyone.
It is odd to me that Gina, like, she did the same thing with Vicky and Don, where she was constantly defending Don and saying what a good guy he was. And I get it.
And Vicky's alcoholic ex-husband.
Yeah, it's like, why are you, nobody does this with Matt. No one tells you that you should have never divorced him, that he's a great guy, because they know that he's bad. It doesn't matter why Vicky decided to divorce Don. It doesn't matter why Tamara and Simon get divorced. Like, if your friend is divorcing somebody, like,
support them. Sympathizer.
And also don't, like, if, like, a police report, or the police show up and they've determined that, you know, Simon did something he shouldn't have and it was domestic violence or whatever something it was, like, he did go to jail. It wasn't Tamara's decision. It was the cop's decision.
And don't, like, you know, like, how do you think this is going to help their family situation?
Their family, their children. Simon's
reputation,
yeah.
Other abused women. Yeah. Like, it's like, it's why, like, do you think this helps? Like,
it's just, she's, I don't know. I don't like Gina.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like what I'm saying.
But what I do like is the finale party. I miss these finale parties.
The autumn
party.
The autumn.
Yeah, they call it, they're already starting to be like, market research says that we can't acknowledge it's a show anymore. So they're not calling a finale party now. It's Vicky's annual party. But, like, why can't we do this again? Where we
Vicky's
see everyone
annual
from the
autumn
show?
Party?
Yes.
We've never seen her autumn party before, and we've never seen it since. But it's her annual one. And I like how it's an autumn party, but there's, like, no leaves on the ground. So it's just, like, fake foliage everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Trying to make, like, Orange County have a
fake
season.
Vine of, like, like, orange and red, like, maple leaves. It's like, okay.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Not a
finale
party. Love
your annual party. Yeah.
Where everybody
bust out your decor.
Where Kimberly flies in from Chicago, and we see all of these, you know, it's clearly a finale party. We're seeing all the characters we've met before, all the gay men who were, like, did great service to the season.
Gina brings her gay. Like, everyone's brought a gay.
Yes. And it also really frustrates me that we don't even know names of a lot of these guys. Like, I feel like Atlanta does such a better job of, like, we actually get to, like, meet, like, you know, like, Dwight, and, like, actually get to know them and stuff. Whereas, like, we don't even know the names of, like, a lot of the gay men who've been such an important part of the season.
These men are doing so
party.
Much. Yes. Yeah.
It's frustrating. So Peggy and Alexis, we've talked about their frenemy relationship, how it's different on camera. It finally blows up in the finale party. Peggy's tired of it. She doesn't want to compete anymore. Whose lips are bigger? Whose boobs are bigger? Who's a better mom?
Mm-hmm.
And Alexis is not, she doesn't want to mend fences. She loves her lips. Mm-hmm. She loves her boobies. Mm-hmm. She doesn't care. Peggy is fighting for the friendship, but upset enough at this response that she later decides to leave the show because she genuinely was sad. Bye, girl. And then at the end of this party, we have one of the most epic 2-minute sequences in Bravo history.
Mm.
Like, it's up there with Sheena's engagement party. It reminds me so much of the scene from Mean Girls where it escalates into a fight where it's like, you little bitch, you're a bitch. Like, and suddenly everyone's punching and kicking.
It's heightening.
It's so good. Okay, so Tamara gets a cease and desist from her lawyer so Gina will stop saying she's lying about abuse on camera, but she keeps calling it a cyst and decease. Like,
already so good.
Already so good, like a cyst.
We need HBO to be making this type of content again.
It's so, oh my gosh, it's like a Sopranos level malapropism.
Oh my
like,
god,
it's so
yes.
funny. So Peggy confronts Gina by the pool for Tamara. She's like, hey, maybe you shouldn't, you know, get into this whole abuse thing. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And Gina's like, it was taken out of context, my words. And then suddenly David, Tamara's hairstylist, appears and just escalates it and goes, throwing a leash is abuse. What if it's a heavy leash?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. What if it's a heavy leash?
So, already we're at like an 8. Yes. Because of David's service. And then Tamara walks up and says, here's your letter, bitch. And Gina says a lot of things in response that do not prove she understands abuse, like, at all. She's like, I don't believe he hit you because you would have told us. Disgusting. Tamara gets mad, like she was at Simon when he started to make her look bad. She's like, it's none of your fucking business. Do you understand me? Stay out of my life, bitch. Stay out of my fucking life. Here's your letter. It's from my attorney. Assistant deceased. Here. And then Gina says, don't touch me. I'll throw your skinny little ass in the pool. And then Tamara goes, show me. Prove me. It's musical. And then Tamara's mom steps out to distract Gina. She's like, don't touch my daughter. So Gina has like two Tamaras, like old Tamara, young Tamara coming at her. And then Tamara's like, you bitch. And she throws wine right in Gina's eyeball. And Gina keels over. Her vision is compromised. She throws her drink at Tamara. You fucking bitch. It's not her. It's a decoy Tamara. A woman who looks exactly like Tamara. Just a different random Orange County woman. Decoy Tamara turns around. And while she's turned around, doubled over, she goes, hey, don't throw shit at me. Ew. And she pushes Gina into the bar while she's doubled over, covering her eye. Cut to Brianna and like another nameless gay man watching, saying,
I thought it was a classy party.
Then Quinn from season 4 turns around in a blonde wig. Tamara number 4. Tamara number 4 shoves decoy Tamara, says, don't do that. Tammy Knickerbocker, Tammy number 5, says to decoy Tamara, you were in the way. Decoy Tamara said, I was in the way of a drink. And then decoy Tamara finds another drink and throws it at Tammy Knickerbocker.
My
Tamara
God.
Walks out to scream at Gina one more time as Gina leaves. And she goes, cease and desist. And Gina says, I see why Simon left. And her gay friend screams, this is why Simon divorced you.
My God.
It's so good. It's so jam-packed.
Jam-packed.
It's like a sketch the way it heightens. Like it's mm-hmm. like, just like one thing turns into another thing, turns into another thing. It's like Molière, my dear. Yes.
And then there's the reunion.
That brings us to the reunion. So again, we're going to focus mostly on Tamara and Vicky in this reunion.
Tamara and Vicky.
Yes. So Tamara has learned from the Gina situation. She is like, she's like adapting like an AI to reality TV. Like mm-hmm. you can see her learn each lesson and then incorporate it to make better TV and weaponize it like in the next episode. She's like at top form. She's like, oh, okay. So like this Gina like got a non-cast member to still damage someone's reputation on camera. So mm-hmm. that's what I am going to do with Slade.
My God.
So they wheel out Slade Smiley because Gretchen is like absolutely worthless without him. And he gives yeah. like a bunch of BS reasons why yeah. he doesn't have a job, which he does. He gets
they're
paid.
They're valid.
Them. Yeah, they're valid. It's like, oh, but it's because I work in, you know, my fake job before.
I have to help Gretchen Christine the brand, but I'm not paid by her. And I'm just doing it because I love her and I'm not her employee. Even though like this whole season and even like Gretchen's tagline is like, he's my bitch.
Yes. Yes. Like
I can't imagine those two having sex, how weird it is.
I feel like they don't. The amount they talk about it, it gives me they don't fuck.
Something's happened.
Something's up. I mean I can see them kind of like Tom Sandoval and Rachel, where like the only time they fuck is when they're talking about storylines, like where they're like, yeah, this new like handbag photo shoot, you're gonna look so professional, I'm gonna look so hot.
Yeah, oh God. You know what, I started following her on Instagram, sorry.
No, they that still... is woof.
Well, we both are following her, Lauren, but
mm-hmm. no I'm saying she her Instagram is
yeah no her. it's crazy, the filters. She's a pretty girl, you don't need it.
She they filters still her live daughter
in, they still live in.
That's so creepy. And she's the MLM queen. She's like at the top of a downline. And like, that's where she's making all her money from as she filters her and her daughter's face.
She doesn't want to put her kid on social media.
Yeah. It's,
no, she does. Just filtered.
Yeah. Yeah. Just filter. Yeah. It's not to protect. It's so that the daughter looks hot.
Oh my God.
Gretchen continues to explain how she is the real victim of Slade not paying child support to his dying son.
Mm.
Slade calls Tamara a whore who sucks everyone off. And so Tamara leaves. She leaves set. She goes to the green room and she calls Slade's ex-wife from the green room who says on speakerphone he's never paid a dime to his yeah. dying son, Grayson.
He never did up until like 2023. I still don't think he's ever paid it.
No. You still owed $150,000 yeah. as of 2023.
Yeah.
And like still, you know, his ex-wife is like trying to go fund me the medical debts.
Medical debts.
I don't
debts.
Know if she ended up like making that quote or making the, but hopefully she got some help from like lots of viewers are keyed into the situation because of Tamara's work in the green room on this.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts back to, you know, the wife on speakerphone being like, I've never seen a dime from him. He continues to not pay me. While Slade and Gretchen are like, we are working on it. He's going to get a job and he's going to pay it. Yeah, it's a thank you, Tamara, for your service.
Yes.
Busting this
Saint Tamara.
Saint Tamara, indeed. And then we talk in the reunion about Vicky post-divorce. She is already dating Brooks.
She's dating someone. The what? Kids haven't met him, and they don't want to.
And
her love tank is, her cup runneth over.
And he says,
no.
Her diva, yeah, or like her period blood?
Yeah.
And he says, what can you tell us about this guy? He's from the South.
South.
He's a father of 4.
She met him at an insurance conference.
Yes. They have a lot of fun together. They shop together. They work out together, meaning she pays for his
gym membership. He doesn't live here, but he comes and travels there every couple of weeks and stays with her. So he works part-time in Mississippi, part-time in the OC. Can't say what he does part-time for either place, what he does for a living.
Tamara reassures us he's a really good guy.
He's a good guy. So this is our first taste and our first dip into the world of Vicky and Brooks, which we will be going on in the deep end soon.
What a ride. Okay. And so that's the end of season 6. We're so stoked for seasons 7 through 12. It is like a wild ride.
We are going to be, out. I mean, it's going to be like whiplash, but in the best way. But
it's electric.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We might have to take a break in between just to break up the 16 seasons of OC, and we might do
Mormon Wives of Secret Lives.
If you guys are into that. Okay, so it's a new segment alert, required viewing.
Yes.
So this is like for our lazy girls out here who just want
to... Our girls, gays, and theys.
Yes, who just want to like... not watch the whole season, but like see a little bit more of what we're talking about.
You want to get what we're talking about.
It's like one recommended episode. And we'll go in depth about why the episode is required and why it's our favorite on TikTok, on our TikTok, yeah. Bravo_breakdowns. So my required viewing, if it wasn't already clear, was season 6, episode 14. That finale party is like one of the most famous scenes in Bravo history because it is so hilarious. It like could end like a Will Ferrell movie. It's so perfect. What about you,
and
Michelle?
Mine is season 6, episode 9, wine pairings. So this is the episode, the dinner party, where everyone's getting up from the table, where Alexis is having a meltdown. I just think it's really funny.
It's so funny.
It's really funny. TV, Gretchen is like not saying, like she's lying about why Slade isn't there. Alexis is lying about why Jim isn't there. And it's because like both men are grifters and everyone's on to them. And Slade, he's just not a good guy, but not I'll mention it all.
As did Tamara.
In my TikTok. So this is also holding me accountable to do a TikTok.
We're going to do them. So I would say the theme of this season is like a new start. To everything, there is a season. Turn.
I would say like a rebirth. Also because we do see Tamara naked in a tub, much like when a child is born.
Yes.
Our favorite type of women.
That's like her rebirthing ceremony where she's like, I'm no longer,
I'm she's new skin.
Yes. And also like a rebirth into like the golden years. Autumn is the golden year. The autumn of the franchise and the golden years of the franchise.
And the chill in the air that you will feel the next few seasons is Brooks.
Yes.
That chill. That shudder down your spine. What is that? Spooky season? No, it's Girth Brooks.
When you see your breath in the air, that means Dirty Brooks is with you.
Oh.
He's watching.
He's around every corner of the OC driving Vicky's car.
All right. What grade do you give the season, Michelle?
It's so good. I would give this one an A. It was an A to me.
Yeah, same.
I mean, there's just so much.
The camera's
so funny.
She's so good. The back half is way more strong than the first half.
Yes, for Tamara especially.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. And I think it's going to be, look, I hate to like, spoil, but I think it's going to be a lot of really good grades from here on out for the next few weeks.
Yeah, we're not going to be grading on a curve, folks.
No. They don't need it. These ladies don't need it.
Every season is all stars.
And next season, we've got Heather Dubrow, who has never made less than a 4.0 in her whole life.
Yeah.
Well, y'all stay tuned. We have a great interview with Josh in the Oval coming up next.
Bye.
These girls are having a break.
Guest lecturer today is a New York-based social media star. He's a Bravo academic. You are probably already following him. And if not, you need to stat Josh in the Oval on TikTok and Instagram. He has his finger on the pulse of reality TV fandom opinions. It is Gen Z Bravo Wonderkind and reality TV criticism on font terrible, the wickedly talented Josh Banfield.
Hi,
yay!
Josh.
Hi, Josh. Thank you for doing our show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Oh my God, you're so like quiet and like mysterious.
Demure.
Like all the Gen Z people. Demure.
Yeah, that trend went quickly.
Yeah, but you can still feel the ripples in the comments on Instagram. Instagram always gets the trends
later. Yeah, because now on Instagram, it's like, what's demure?
Yeah, they're figuring it out, but that's okay.
First of all, do you mind if I vape?
God, you said you were going to quit, Lauren.
I'm working
on it. She's only doing this because she's addicted, but also because you're a Gen Z. Maybe she thinks it makes her look cool, but the truth is, it doesn't.
I'm appealing shamelessly to our guests.
Sorry.
I would be offended if you weren't vaping.
Thank you. Oh my God, do you vape? It's killing all the kids.
I don't, but everyone else does. So let's do it.
It's killing all the kids.
Other Gen Zs.
You're mindful. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, Josh, you are a Bravo super fan. Do you remember your first franchise? And how old were you?
It wasn't that long ago, actually. This is a relatively new development for me.
Oh, my gosh.
It was 2021. New York. But I feel like I was training my whole life for it because I was, like, big into, like, soap opera.
Oh, my God.
And, like, women's wrestling, which is very Bravo-coded if you're not familiar. So when I found Bravo, it just was a natural fit. But I was in my last semester of college and was just like having impending doom about entering the world and needed a new rabbit hole. And it was the perfect one because I've been consumed ever since.
That is what our show is all about, is using Bravo as a crutch for your failing mental health. And inevitably, it becomes a helpful crutch that you can walk with for life.
I feel refreshed whenever I watch an episode of Real Housewives of New York and they're stuck in Dorinda's home in the dead of winter, drunk,
scared.
Oh my gosh.
Sonia's sleeping upright.
I'm special. A big Carol Radziwill stan, so her specifically, her impact on my life has been significant.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a bad reaction or a positive reaction?
It's, for me, it was like a full body. Yeah, no, I had a physical reaction.
I had a flashback to liking one of her posts earlier where she's talking about how people are too mean to Taylor Swift.
I don't like her.
Why?
She's like this.
That's why we love her, though.
I mean, I can only do a certain number of sedated women. Here's the other. Like, she just doesn't give me as much as other people. As on the show, like Carol is kind of doing the least. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what people like about her.
Well, for the record, correct me if I'm wrong, but Josh, you
can
like
she order eggs?
She cannot order
eggs. Order eggs at all. That's not.
Well, that's what I. That's what I want in a housewife, and that's all I'll say. And now we said it.
But for the record, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you like the smart housewives, right? Like, you like Carol, well, we love Heather Dubrow as well. What do you like in a woman who can, like, really navigate the cast?
I definitely, there is a theme with the housewives I like. I think usually they're meaner than Carol. Like, I feel like Carol is pretty nice, but I do group them all together. Like, I think that Carol and Heather are similar. I think, like, Kenya on Atlanta, I think that's a hot take, but she falls into that category for me.
She's
also
my favorite. Controversial take now, but
Margaret on New Jersey. I feel like just the ones that get, like, persecuted for being smarter than the rest are the ones that I like.
Yeah, like you see yourself in them a little bit, where you're like, I am the victim of my own brilliance.
Or like, your husband's in the pool.
Yeah,
look at my pigtails.
Love her so much.
So what was your first, like, franchise you got into?
It was New York, and then I followed with Beverly Hills and then Potomac, which was an interesting order.
Yeah.
I did love Potomac until Candace was fired, and now I won't be engaging with that show anymore. I was a big Candace fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did the rest. Also, I feel like...
Remember that when she was, like, feet, hands, just, like, that's how, like, she was what was it, like, dissing Giselle. She just called her
not
feet.
Not today, neck. I love her.
Yeah. Neck. Not today, neck.
She's a very smart housewife, too. Her vocabulary. Like, yeah. She is like a poet to me.
And yeah. They didn't handle it, and they got mad at her because of it.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. We've all seen her music video. She's not singing songs here. She's reciting poetry to us.
She's the Rupa.
Drive back.
Rupi Kaur. Yeah. Rupi, how do you pronounce it? I'm so sorry. Rupi. Okay. Well,
she's the Robert Frost of the Housewives.
Yes. And Josh, she famously said that you were right about most of your opinions, right?
I posted a video about her work. I was posting saying that the other housewives can't handle her because she would have a career if she left the show. And she
oh my God.
The video, and we had an interaction on Twitter. That was fun.
Oh. Do you think that, did she leave, or do you think she said me or Giselle and they said we're not negotiating with you, or do you think she was fired?
I think it was like a you can't fire me, I quit, is my belief.
Okay.
I
love that, though.
Evidence of that, but I would support her if that was.
I don't know. That was such a. It was the wrong move on Bravo's part. You have to have Candace. You can't just have Giselle and Karen, which I love. I love Giselle, okay? And I love Karen. I think Giselle does best when she's playing off of Karen, mm-hmm. just in terms of like physical comedy. But you have to have Candace over here being like, drive back. You know,
I think it's.
I need that, or bring back. Oh, I think that parrot is dead now. We don't have to bring back Monique, but I do miss her bird.
I love Monique.
I think it's dead now, though.
Yeah, I miss Monique too. Controversially,
I know most people don't like them both, but I love both of them. I would love for them to coexist, but it'll never happen.
Yeah, but honestly, if they pull like a, you know. The Jens, like Jennifer Garner and J-Lo, and they team up and sell their own show, people are going to watch the shit out of that. So, Candace's ear.
They're both too petty for that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, and now Monique's ex-husband is dating Katie Roast. Remember from the first season of Potomac?
I, like, saw that and I couldn't even engage with that. I was like, I don't know what to say about this. Katie, I feel bad engaging with her social media because I'm like, I feel like I shouldn't be looking at this. Like, somebody needs to help her.
You go like this. Mm,
yeah. Those are my favorite follows. Like, blurry, out-of-focus pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They take, like, selfies like this.
Sporadically updated.
Like, you don't hear anything for, like, a year except a couple blurry photos. And then it's like, I'm dating this person that feels like it makes no sense.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, good for her. I hope she gets a house from him or something.
I did try to watch her when Chris and Monique went on the Carlos King show. I attempted to watch that show and it was really not great. And I was like, oh, this is unfortunate.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people are not meant for the reality TV sphere.
No.
I guess. They're before the grace of God.
She was so good at it while it lasted, though. She was a great housewife.
Mm. Appreciate the times that we had.
Yes.
Gone but not forgotten.
So we love your TikToks because you have such a comprehensive, like, knowledge of Bravo history. It's good to know, like, the children have not forgotten these important moments. So is it just your nature to be a completionist, or were you just that sucked in that you were like, I need more?
It's everything. Like, anytime I get into anything, I'm like, I need to know everything that has ever happened in this realm. And it's just always been like that. And it's been good this time, at least, that I posted about that journey on the internet, so I got something out of it other than just accepting all of my responsibilities in life.
Right, what? That's why we do the podcast, to pretend
I have so many responsibilities, and I cry about them all the time.
Yeah. How many hours of Bravo would you say you watch, like, per week?
Right now, a lot, because my mom actually just started Orange County, and I've been home and on that journey with her.
Oh, that's so magical.
Yeah.
But you should tell her that we're recapping this from the beginning.
She's gonna, I will. But I told her to not engage with anything about it on social media, because I'm trying to keep her from finding out about some things that happen in the future on the show. Because she's still she's on the season 3 reunion right now, so she's still very early. She doesn't even know Gretchen yet, so we have to...
She's gonna come
If I could get the part of my brain removed that knew about Tamara shouting Bass Lake and rediscover it all over again, I would pay $1 million for that.
Bass Lake.
Insurance should cover it, in my opinion.
Everyone, hide your daddies. Here comes Gretchen.
Iconic. I miss that Tamara so much.
Oh. Yeah. So we have been kind of debating on this podcast. Do you think Tamara has like lost her touch a little bit and like hasn't been able to evolve with the times, even though she was such a trailblazer?
Yeah.
I do. And it's really sad because I love Tamara for all of her. I mean, I just watched them a couple years ago. I'm not going to act like I was watching live, but during all those seasons of my viewing experience, I loved her. I do. And this is just how much I get into these things. I have a notes app with all of my rankings of all the housewives from every season, and Tamara was number one on every season that she had in her original run, and then when she came back it has not been the case like that. Now Heather Dubrow is my top favorite, but Tamara was my favorite for so long, and I just don't really recognize who she is at this point. Sharp.
Like, yeah. Does it feel like she's just being like nasty just to make moments, but there's no like humor behind it? It also just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
kind of what Tamara's doing. Yeah, and I don't like what she's doing to Shannon. We're big Shannon stans on this show.
I've been on my own journey with Shannon. I loved her several seasons ago, and then the last couple I was like, I don't know about her, but now I'm back to loving her. She's having an amazing season.
Yeah, I mean, she's having a great season. She's really coming out on top for a woman who ran into a house, and that's all I'll say.
This, by all accounts, should have been her worst season ever, and it's going to end up being her best, and she should be studied for that. I don't know how she's doing.
We need her, like, we need science on this.
What she did science. That I admire the most is, like, and yeah,
do
that,
experiments
like, really,
on
they should do some serious, like, research on for future cures to bad seasons, is, like, she somehow got Gina and Emily on her side, and instead, they would have been the ones who were, like, doing the Tamara storyline. Like, you know, they're just suddenly like clean slate this season. How did she do it, Josh?
I think with Emily, I think it's different for both of them. My personal belief is that with Emily, I think that Emily was really scared that she was going to come across as just like siding with Tamara on everything, since they're now business partners with the podcast. And I think that she didn't want to seem too biased. She still is a little bit, but she has been very good to Shannon relative to how Tamara is being. With Gina, I think Gina just knows that she needs to move forward with people to keep her spot, because she knows it's hanging on by a thread at all times. I don't know if I want her to continue. Before this season, I was like, Gina needs to go. I don't know why she's still there. This season, I am enjoying her because she is actually rebuilding relationships with people. But I don't know really enough to save her spot personally.
Yeah,
she'd be good, like, friend of, like, she's like your poor funny friend.
Exactly. She would be great in that role. I don't see why we
the
need
poor
to
funny friend
giving her the audience.
I can't have too many, I don't want to call them poor. I can't have too many, like, middle-class gals running around the OC behind the gates of CODA. Like, we have Jen. We like Jen. We'll keep Jen. Gina, you know, we've passed the torch now. Lauren and I talk about, this is kind of a thing that OC seems to be doing in casting, which is, like, hiring the gal that not with no money. But I can't have too many of them running around. Yeah. So let's keep Jen. She has the better extensions. Gina, thank you for your time. You can be a friend of.
I can't take credit for this, but I saw somebody recently say that Jen is poor, but she doesn't have poor energy, and that's why she works as a housewife. And I think that's very true. She does not have poor energy at all. And it's partially because she is just delusional about her circumstances.
Yes, and that's what we like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, if I had never had a credit card in my name, would I be driving a Range Rover and spending thousands of dollars on hair? No. But that's why I'm not on TV. I'm sitting in my closet right now.
A scientist should also study, how did she get a Range Rover lease when she doesn't have credit?
She's doing a great job navigating poverty.
She really is. I mean, I know if I had one eviction on my record, I would never be able to rent a home.
Yep, she is a magician.
Also, the way she picked, like, the absolute perfect guy for OC, in that he's absolutely, like, controversial, terrible, mixed up, and, like,
wealthy, but can't explain it. But we're going to see about what happens with that.
Yeah, he very Slade, obviously, in a lot of ways. But I was surprised, actually, when I was just watching season one of Orange County with my mom, how Slade, like, really did come across as rich in season one. I don't know how he navigated that.
I think he still had a job at that point in time.
Yeah, he's, like, wearing suits.
He's, like, wearing suits. He has, like, a house or something. There's children.
It's still an act, though. It's, like, because he and Joe are performing... We're rich. And then finally they have that one scene where, like, Slade's like, you're always off just drinking with your friends at night. And she's like, well, you're drinking with people during the day. And he's like, well, that's my job. And I'm like, hold on a minute.
What's your job? Yeah, wasn't he like an insurance sales guy?
Yeah, it seemed really legit at first. But I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah. But he was better at, like, when they were still figuring out what the show is, they were better at, like, scripting their scenes. And obviously, as time went on, like, the scenes between, like, Gretchen and Slade, when he tried to do it again, they kind of lost that hold on the narrative, which sadly we see happening with Tamra. We have a theory that the men of Orange County are, like, the worst across all franchises. Would you agree?
I don't like any of the men on any of the shows, so it's hard
You don't like Louis?
Not exactly.
Sweet.
You think, like, kind of everyone's, they don't stand out to you as the worst.
No.
I'm trying to think if there's any house husband I really, really like. I don't know.
I don't have anything against Candace's husband.
Maybe Frank Catania.
Yeah. Chris,
I like Frank.
Fine. Frank.
I like Frank. What's wrong with Frank? What, because he cheated on Dolores?
Okay, so so let's talk about the new season a little more of Orange County. It's being billed as like a shot of life and a return to form for the franchise and for, you know, OC and Housewives in general. But, like, I kind of feel like I just love Orange County. I kind of feel like it's always that girl, and this is just a particularly great season. You think so, too? Thank you.
I was hoping that there would be a way for me to talk about this. I actually am so bothered by that, because I think that last season was great. I think season 16, even, I like.
Yes.
I don't know why people do it with 15. I think it was a good season. And so when people are like, this is the first time it's been good in years, I'm like, no, y'all just weren't paying attention. It's been
exactly great. Yeah. I think it's like it has a slow start. So sometimes people are just like, okay, I'm out. But, like, if you go back and you watch, even they had the best pandemic season. Everyone was, like, falling apart. Bronwyn was, like, tearing up her life to try to get a show. It was compelling. Elizabeth Vargas was lying her ass off. It was great.
Yeah.
Now, people remember it bad because of, and they probably regret this so much, the intro with the masks. I feel like that set a bad tone, but it really isn't the worst Housewives season. There are plenty of worse seasons. And I think ever since Heather Dubrow came back in 16, it's been great. I just feel the need to say, I wanted to find a way to mention her mafia threat to Shannon. I feel like that just, like, kicked off this era of the show in such a perfect way, and I love her so much for that.
Yeah, do you view Heather as, like, your number one right now because she's so needed for the chemistry of the show, because she's, like, you know, the blonde versus the dark, the, you know, like,
and she has, like, real wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she is. I don't think the show would be nearly as good without her. And it frustrates me when people talk about wanting Kelly Dodd back, because I don't want that at all. And I think Heather would leave in 2 seconds if they brought her back. And I'm like, y'all cannot do that. You need to keep Heather happy. Keep her. I don't love when people talk about wanting her to go on Beverly Hills, because I think she's more essential to OC than she would be ever on Beverly Hills.
Agreed. Yeah. I think, like, she would. You know, Beverly Hills. Okay, let's get into Beverly Hills a little bit. So we have had a tough time with, like, Beverly Hills, Fox Force 5 on.
We don't like Kyle, and she's never been that girl.
That alliance, like, that airtight alliance between her, Rena, RIP,
Dorit,
and Erica, is very difficult for us to watch them hiding secrets for each other. And, like, other, you know, Sutton and Garcelle sometimes trying to kind of inch towards the plot and then being hit by a wall and, like, attacked for small things. It's just really difficult for us. How do we let go?
It's not entertaining. It's not funny.
I agree. When I watched Beverly Hills, was a big Lisa Vanderpump stan. Once she exited, I feel like I kind of emotionally detached. But I think I'm going to say my way of coping, and I know that it's difficult for you as historians of this platform, is before last season, I said to myself, I don't care what's happened in the past. I'm just going to pretend to like Kyle this season. And I just told myself I like Kyle. And it made watching the show so much more tolerable. I don't like Kyle, but I just said, I like Kyle.
It was like a mantra.
Yeah, exactly. And that made it so much more fun to watch.
That is so astute. That's smart. Your mind, like, seriously, that is because that's kind of what the show hinges on. And that's people who like it.
They like Kyle.
Like Kyle.
And you ask them why they like Kyle and they can't actually tell you.
No, there's no reason.
And then, okay, but like even just try to think about what's a great moment Kyle has given.
Stole my goddamn house.
No, but that's Kim's. That's what I'm saying. I feel like every really memorable moment with Kyle is because of like her sisters. I guess she kind of had that thing with Camille, like, you're such a fucking bitch, Camille.
Liar, yeah.
Even that, though, Camille was the one who was doing the heavy lifting.
Camille had just, seen before, just got off the stripper pole. Like,
yeah, she did.
Bring back Camille. If they brought back season one Camille, I would watch.
I love Camille.
Yeah. The problem is, though, you never know what you're going to get with her because sometimes she's coming in, like, full force, ready to earn her spot. And then the next season, she's, like, listening to her, actually listening to her PR team and, like, being like, I agree.
Yeah.
Very polite.
A mysterious blonde woman who follows her around everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Aditi. Yeah. Who's like, is she in love with her? Or is she paid by her? It's such a mystery.
I hope she's getting paid. Yeah. She's everywhere with her.
So you are overall not, you struggle with Vicky, which is interesting to us.
She's one of the greats.
So our question is, how dare you? No, I'm just kidding. Is it because
how could
of,
you?
I know people who struggle with her. Is it because of the obvious thing of how she is as a human being and treats people?
Well,
what you have to say is, I like that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate her for what she is. I think in recent years, when she appears, I think it's kind of annoying how she thinks she's like so above everything, but it's also camp. So I'm like, I appreciate it. Like when she yells at them, like in last season when she was on the trip with them, when they were all yelling at Heather and she interrupted to say, to stop the drama. And I'm just like, girl, what are you talking about? But I will say in rewatching the early seasons, as I've been doing over the last week, I do have more of an appreciation for her than I had previously. She really was carrying the show early on.
She really was. Mm-hmm. And I like to separate the art from the artist.
It's so important in reality TV. Yeah.
I think I get frustrated with just in the same way that I do with Teresa. Like, since I do love the like smart housewives, people who just like you can't get through to them in any way. It's hard to watch, but I appreciate her for what she is.
Yeah.
That perspective makes so much sense to me. I think that's a lot of like people who are Team Melissa, Team Marge, you know, like, and it's like, I think it's people who are really frustrated when people are dumb. We just happen to
or
be
just
team.
Like never change, you know, like Vicky
never grow,
will
never
learn. Never grows. Yeah, never grows, never learn. She pees on beds.
No accountability,
but I like that about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes good television. I can't fault her for it.
And I think it's time for our two sides to just unite and recognize that. It's like, it's okay to not like dumb people and it's okay to like dumb people.
And we're not
There's
saying
for everyone.
Vicky's dumb. It's alleged.
No, her behavior.
Oh.
She's a smart woman. They said that over and over again in the
season
11
reunion.
She's a
smart woman. She sells life insurance.
So you're a big Vanderpump Rules fan as well. What do you see for the future of VPR?
What I see for the future is not aligned with what I want for the future because I don't think that Ariana wants anything to do with the show and I don't expect to see her on it again.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because her and Katie are the show at this point to me personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously last season was very bad for Sheena. I am okay with Sheena, me and her. She's kind of like in the realm of like Vicky and that I see what she does for television and I can support that. So I see a lot of people being like, Lala and Sheena need to be fired. That's not going to happen. I don't really like Lala, but I think Sheena is going to be a central character in any Vanderpump Rules season 12, no matter what that looks like. I don't know. I think I was less hostile to the last season than most people were. I think
really
the production and the way that they tried to sabotage Ariana was ugly, but I still think it was compelling television, in my view.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like the editors really saved the season in some ways. Like, it would have been, I think, a complete flop. But they, you know, the way that at the end they, like, pushed production to show, like, what was really happening, which is, like, Sheena, we don't really care about Sheena and Tom's friendship. Like, you know, Tom is an avatar for production. And, like, Ariana... this whole thing has been a war between Ariana and production to see who, like, if she can strong arm them with her marketability and her power, or if they can strong arm her because they're fucking production. And I'm like, that, why couldn't that have been the whole season? We're ready.
I know. I agree with that. I think it was.
Let's be honest though. Vanderpump has just, like, not been the same since they all got money. Like, when they all could buy those houses in the valley and, like, they stopped living in that apartment where they couldn't, like, warm up a burrito and use the air conditioning at the same time. Like, it's been a rough stuff. Okay, so I don't really care. I mean, like, Ariana, no, she doesn't need to be on the show anymore. She's got 15 other shows. She's got Love Island, okay? Like, just to watch an episode takes 25 years. Imagine shooting it, okay? Number one, she doesn't need it. She's on Broadway. Tom needs the show because the Toms need to be doing something. And people need to be watching what they're doing because what they do is pretty heinous. I hated last season. I've hated the show for a long time, and it makes me really sad because I really loved the show for so long. But the Valley was good.
I feel like I'm in an unpopular side of, I think the Vanderpump Rules peak was, like, very recent. Like, season 10, I think, was the best season they ever had before Scandival.
Woo!
Very much a hot take.
Wait, is it season 2? What happened season 2, Lauren, and why is it our favorite?
He said season 10. Oh, season 2 is our favorite because of course, the Kristen and Jackson.
The backhand.
Yeah. But so is it because, do you like season 10 the most just because of the cultural power? And, like, also it's like
they've
a mystery
up
where you're watching, you know, all of the clues?
I guess I'm very biased on this show also in that I'm a diehard Katie Maloney fan. And I feel like if I kind of experienced the show through her coming into her power and growing. And
that
was a very, like, Katie is finally not with that rancid man anymore season.
She's not getting beer poured on her anymore. So glow up.
Yeah. I was not experiencing the show at the time.
While it was on.
So I'm sure it was a cultural moment in time. But I love the
You're just a wee baby.
But that's why you have, like, almost like a clearer perspective because you're not letting nostalgia influence you.
Oh, yeah.
I got in a fight with somebody about that on TikTok like 6 months ago because somebody was telling me that I don't understand any of these things because I wasn't experiencing at the time.
Well, who gives a shit?
I don't think that's true anyway, but I also just feel like, nostalgia isn't a factor, and also, I mean, definitely you are missing something and not experiencing, like, the social media and things at the time, but I feel like I was able to develop my own opinions because I wasn't experiencing that. Like, all my opinions about the shows are my own, not people were telling me they should be. And I think that's why I do love certain people like Katie that were villainized at the time.
Yeah, it's like, would you tell a paleontologist that, oh, you'll never understand because you didn't walk with the dinosaurs? It's like, hello, I've devoted my life to studying them, you know?
I was like, huh? What is this situation? I was trying to go with you on that, Lauren. And then I was like, why are paleontologists at this? I was just, okay, you know what? When you said that, I'm sorry, I'm really tired. Okay, I was thinking about a paleontologist behind the Sir Dumpster, like, asking Katie Maloney.
They should. They should go there.
You've never walked with the dinosaurs, sweetie.
They'll see some important stuff. It might not be dinosaur bones, but there will be bones.
There's the secrets that dumpster could tell. And okay, I would rather the dumpster have, like, I wish that dumpster would just take over for, like, Lisa Vanderpump's role on the show, because it makes more sense at this point than her to be like, come look at my new restaurant in Big Bear, no, Tahoe, or whatever she's doing. I'm like, okay.
Well, that's my issue with when I hear people, and I know there's been some rumors recently about, like, the potential recast and, like, going back to the basics of following people who work at the restaurants, but I don't
want to do that either.
If we're doing that, do it at something about her and have Ariana and Katie be the, like, matriarch role. I don't
right.
want to be pretending to care about 22-year-olds when she's with her grandkid and doing whatever yeah. LVP does in this era of her life. And I love her. I worshipped her for many seasons of television, yeah. but I don't need that at this point.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know what she's doing on the show. She's just trying. I don't know why she hasn't just sort of vanished in the way of, like, Ken.
Money.
You know.
But, well, they've kind of soft launched
that. Well, she's still the EP.
Yeah. They've kind of soft launched that idea on Vanderpump Villa. Have you seen any of it?
I tried, and it's unbearable.
It's so, like, it's so scripted, and it's, like, too, it's just so frustrating that they keep trying to cast a new Jax and Stassi rather than a group of people who know each other.
Yeah, it was very clearly just trying to recreate that.
Is this Stassi going to the show or something like that, or am I crazy? Didn't you say that she is going to go to mm-hmm. Villa?
For season two. I'm optimistic Stassi about is. That.
I'll watch yeah. for Stassi. But mm-hmm. see, I yeah, don't know what we'll role see. She's gonna be in. It's not clear. As of
I
now.
Think she's gonna be like Monique in Charm School, where it's like Lisa. Ooh. You know, she's like, you know, does this stupid like scripted, you know, setup of like, okay, now you guys all be good, and then she leaves, and then when like the you know waiters are giving like the customers lap dances, Stassi's like, how dare you, you know, and rips them and the clownery, the clown jumped out. I think that's basically. That's what I see for it.
I hope that's what it is.
Yeah. Speaking of Bravo's inexplicable refusal to cast groups of friends, are you watching the new Roni?
Yes. It's been difficult, but I am participating. I think that in the way that I needed to just condition myself to like Kyle Richards, I just tell myself that this is not the same show. And I'm like, this is just a new fun show about lifestyle, because it's not Real Housewives of New York. It
yeah.
Real Housewives of New York. But I think there is some potential. I like Grin. I mm-hmm. think that if Alliance could like open herself up to the experience, I think she has potential as a housewife. That's about it, though. I don't love the rest.
Yeah, Brynn's really the only one that I really like. I mean, I know a lot of people like Jenna Lyons just because, like, of her stature and, you know, everything she's done for fashion. I did try watching it. I couldn't find anything that was happening. It's like, why are we fighting about cheese? Like, we're fighting about a cheese board. We're fighting about, we're bleeping out catch.
Catch.
Like, we used to have to bleep things out because people were getting sued left and right. Or
That's
you're
still happening, to be fair.
Okay, but why are we bleeping out, like, the name of a restaurant? Like, it's weird.
It was a strange.
I need some real dirt. Make them go to Dorinda's, make them go to the Berkshires and figure it out. And then they'll come back different people that are interesting to watch on TV.
Yeah.
I need them to be smoking cigarettes in Cartagena.
I agree.
With
I don't
Carol.
See why they can't do some kind of mix.
I
don't
right,
know. Yeah. People say it wouldn't make sense, the age gap, but like, who cares?
They always have done this age gap, though. It's like yeah. they've always had, like when Gretchen's first season on OC, she's like 30, you know, like mm-hmm. everyone else is like in their 40s, like mid 40s at that point. So it's like
Lydia, Megan, there's always been a 30-year-old housewife.
Yeah, there's always been like a 30-year-old. So like, let just Brynn try to hang out with Dorinda and Sonia.
Yeah,
and
see what
Bethany's ghost.
Okay. I got chills when you said the word Lydia. That, like, evoked something in me that was not positive.
Oh, like, yeah. Lydia Dietz, like, Beetlejuice. It's like, ooh.
Lydia. Oh, yeah. She was the worst.
I think she's my least favorite of those.
Her mom, though, was fun. Fun mom.
Yeah.
Her mom was yeah. the only one who could expose Ryan, Brianna's husband, as a monster on camera.
Yeah.
That scene...
Chills.
Stayed
the
with
fucking
me.
In the words of Whitney Rose, the fucking chills. I have the fucking chills.
That was a lot. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. To wrap it up, let's on a lighter note, let's talk about the new Salt Lake City trailer. Are you optimistic about this new season?
I am, and I think I last Well, so I caught up with Salt Lake City specifically for the last season's finale because I had never engaged with it before. I didn't think I had started season one and I was like, this is not that interesting to me. Like Jen Shah, I don't know. I didn't really get it. Yeah. But I caught up for that finale. It was an amazing experience. I loved the Monica of it all.
Yeah.
And I guess my issue, I think they needed to fire Monica. I think there was no way forward without doing that, even though I do like her. I think they should
bring her back
next season.
We love her.
I do too. But the cast was not going to move forward with her. Yeah. And I think that other people who say that Monica is necessary for this season to be interesting, I think are underestimating how thirsty all of the existing cast is. They are not going to let the show be bad because they know that then Monica will be brought back. So I think it's
We still have Meredith out there. I love
Meredith so
much. The rumors and the nastiness with the husbands.
She's the equivalent of all my girls on that show. I love her so much.
She's someone, like, usually, like, you can see a housewife's, like, motivations. They're very transparent, and that's why they're interesting to watch.
She's so random.
With her, like, do you have any insight on her psyche?
I don't think there's much thought put into any of it. I think she doesn't really need the show.
She's mysterious.
Yes, she is. I think.
But doesn't she? Like, I'm very unclear about her life. Like, she owns this boutique that Beyonce shopped at. Okay. But then, like, her husband has a job, but it's in Ohio and she's not going to go to Ohio. Like, she's not going to like go to like bumfuck Ohio when she's living in beautiful Salt Lake City. Like, I'm very confused. The only time I felt like, I mean, I love her. I think she's like top tier. The only time like her life kind of made sense was in Lisa Barlow's Hot Mic monologue, which is so iconic.
I think that she doesn't. I think if she needed the show, she would engage more than she does. Like, even
the
reunion, I was just rewatching that, and she barely said a word the whole time. Like, if she cared slightly more, I think she would be like even more crazy. But she's only half of what she could be.
Like, when she's like in the bathtub when like the FBI is raiding Beauty Lab and Laser, and she's just like, "What's going on?"
So do you think she's still, like, evolving? Like, she's, you know, still as yet to reach her Charizard era or whatever the Pokemon term is? You
think I don't know.
No, I think so. I don't think we've seen close to her full potential as a housewife. And it kind of makes me wonder what needs to happen for that to be unleashed. And I don't know if it is going to be like a Heather Dubrow situation where she needs to leave and then come back to reach her full potential, or if somebody just needs to piss her off badly enough that she gets very activated. But I look forward to the day that we see her fully unleashed.
Oh, I love that. What an optimistic note to end on. Oh my gosh. Josh, thank you so much for joining us. We can find you on Instagram and TikTok at Josh in the Oval. Is there anything else you'd like to promote?
No, that's about it. Just focusing on growing on TikTok. I'm approaching 50,000. I'll probably get there in the next few weeks. So that's
hell yeah. We will be messaging you for advice off the air. You have such a good TikTok, and I feel like you have such your finger on the pulse of the reality TV fandom. Your opinions are so correct, and you understand what everyone else is thinking too. And I got
a comment recently that said, "You hold women accountable without being misogynistic."
Yes,
yes.
Really, because honestly, I'm not going to name names, but there is a lot of misogyny in the Bravo commentary space. And
just say it, and we'll bleep it. We won't. We'll even cut this. But I'm just curious who you think it. Like who?
Yeah, we appreciate you being like a positive voice while still being honest about how you feel and keeping it fucking classy, dude.
Yeah, what's that like?
So we end every episode with an oral exam. This is a 1-minute essay on a pop culture topic of your choice that starts with, "In this essay, I will prove." Michelle, are you ready for your oral exam?
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. All right.
Yeah, baby.
Awesome powers. And your time starts now.
In this essay, I will prove that Yolanda Hadid is giving us trad wife realness with her new Architecture Digest like video that just came out. Okay, number one, she's moved to Texas. When did that happen? And is that why we're all talking about nightshades all of a sudden? Number two, she is giving everyone a tour of this home wearing chaps. She's wearing actual leather cowboy chaps. but never talks about it, never addresses it. And then everything in this house is very Texas themed, which, like, fine, whatever. Then she mentions a room in her house. Lauren, you and I have lived in Texas our entire lives. I've never heard of this type of room, which is a tornado room. Have you ever had a tornado room? Also, quick sidebar, Lauren grew up in the richest part of Dallas, and she didn't even have a tornado room.
Went to the bathroom.
Yeah, you're supposed to go to the bathroom. But she has a tornado room, and in her tornado room is nothing but glass. Time.
Wow.
Didn't Brianna have a tornado room when she lived in Oklahoma on Orange County?
You do. I think you probably do need one there.
Okay, well, she has, Yolanda has one. Yeah. And she doesn't, I didn't get to the part where, like, her partner is 39 years sober, which, like, congratulations. But she was like, I wanted a tequila bar, but she got a honey bar instead because he's sober. So she's got, she has, like, an entire wall. I sent you that video, Lauren, where it's, like, floor to ceiling honeys.
And here's the thing. I think that that tornado room is what a lot of wealthy people did have where I lived, which is a doomsday prepper dungeon. And I think that is really what's happening. But
this is just like glass jars of like gluten-free canned flour.
Good. Yeah, like gluten-free.
He has no cans. There's no canned goods.
No, it's all
it's
like
literally glass of like stuff that you need to leave the room to utilize.
That's so funny. I need to ferment enough for the apocalypse. So... when the race war begins, I'll have...
She just has, like, gluten-free flowers and, like, honey jars.
Wild. Okay. So it's time for Lauren Davis's oral exam, and my time starts now. In this essay, I will prove if you are not into competitive reality shows, if you've had trouble watching Big Brother in the past because it's so like AI-pilled and it really seems like an AI wrote it and designed the house and it's just too dystopian, this is the season for you. First of all, we've got some real stars. We've got Tucker, who is super hot, by the way, and he's actively trying to make good TV. He's mixing it up. He's having showmances. He's just going crazy and doesn't care about winning. We've got Angela, who, oh my gosh, see, I don't even care about like Money on Housewives. Put this woman on OC. She cries about charcuterie. She cries at every perceived slight. She's so paranoid. She is like completely blown up her game, but is inexplicably still there just by her star power. This is a perfect season to come back in, also because it actually is AI themed. So finally, it all kind of makes sense and comes together. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. Time.
Wow. Is Julie Chen still the host?
Chenbot, yes.
Don't forget, you have to say Julie Chen Moonves.
Julie Chen Moonves.
Is Julie Chen Moonves still the hostess of Big Brother?
Oh, yeah.
She hasn't. CBS.
They've updated her programming, but she is still going strong.
She's still a Moonves, though.
Yeah. Oof. Great show. Okay, and now for our final oral exam. This is Josh Banfield's oral exam. Josh, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I'm so excited.
Your time starts now.
Okay, in this essay, I will prove that Teddy Mellencamp is smarter than most people give her credit for, and I wish I was as good as she is at choosing friends who can give me clout and time on TV and financial opportunities. I'm not saying this because I like Teddy. As I said earlier, I have just as many issues with Teddy as everybody does, but... she is unmatched in her ability to pick friends. She has not been employed by Bravo since before the 2020 election, yet she is on our screens all the time. And I know people take issue with that, and I'm included in that, but you have to respect it on some level. So good for Teddy.
Oh my gosh.
We respect the hustle of Teddy Mellencamp, even if it's really annoying and she shoves her hustle down our throats all of the time.
Yeah.
Our everyone's favorite accountability coach.
Yeah. She also says or implies on her podcast that they ask her to appear on Beverly Hills way more frequently than she does, which I don't know if that's true, but
it's
if
not.
It is, that's troubling.
That is so troubling. This is what I'm saying. This is how down bad Beverly Hills is when they're like, if Teddy Mellencamp is declining...
Yeah, but I think you've really shown us, you've really shown us like the power of positive thinking, like really like, you know, it,
like
no
it's
mud,
like the
no
book,
loss,
it's
you
like
know?
The book, The Secret.
Yes.
I haven't read it and I won't, but I know about it.
Yes. With the right like mentality, if you choose to believe a Bravo show is good and a Bravo person is good or find
like
the good
Kyle.
In them. it can be watchable.
I like Kyle.
We're going to take your
advice.
Start
those manifestations now because Beverly Hills is probably coming back in a few months. So you have to start.
Okay, but one last question about Beverly Hills. Do you think that Kyle stole Kim's goddamn house?
Of course. I think she's done everything bad that anyone has ever accused her of. But I like her, so it's okay.
Yeah, we all like her now.
We like her.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. Follow him at Josh in the Oval. Follow us at Bravo_breakdowns on TikTok and Instagram. We love you guys. Bye, students.
Bye. Thanks, Josh. Bye. Thank you. These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo.